Which day of the week is the true Lord's Day? Does it make any difference which day we keep? Does the Bible tell us exactly which day it is? Bill, please make it as clear as possible from God's Word what it has to say about this important subject of the true Lord's Day.
Thank you, Roy, and thank you, friend, for letting me join you today. You know, the greatest ambition that can grip the human heart is the desire to be like Jesus. Today we're going to study on a fascinating subject, and I want to open up with one of my favorite Bible verses. So if you've got a Bible close by, I'm going to get mine right now and turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I say that is the greatest ambition that any life can have, the desire to be like Jesus. I wish I could take you on a trip today. Let's go to a little town right now called Nazareth. But we're going to go back in time some 2,000 years ago. It's on a Wednesday. We arrive, we see the different shops, but here's the neatest shop. It's a carpenter shop, the finest workmanship. And who is the carpenter? Joseph. And who's this young man? Oh, his name is Jesus. Ah, we come back on Thursday, we come back on Friday, and everybody is closing their shops. And so much earlier, we notice. We come back on Saturday, and all the shops are closed. Where's everybody gone? Why, they've gone to church. And we follow to make our way to church. And who do you think is standing at the pulpit? Why, here it is as we read in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Well, friend, the example of Jesus is clear. His example was a Saturday Sabbath-keeping example. But in spite of the fact that Jesus kept the seventh-day Sabbath from the beginning to the end of his earthly ministry, we find a strange situation in the world today where the same Christ is our example and the same Bible is our guide. We find two Sabbath days kept by Christians. Which one is right? And does it make any difference what day a person keeps for the Sabbath? Just so he keeps one day. Is any day acceptable to God? Well, as we turn to the Word of God for the answer to these questions, I would hope that we would lay aside any preconceived ideas and that today we would be willing to be led by the Holy Spirit into all truth. Let's remember our opening text. I want to be like Jesus, don't you? I want to follow His example. And so with our Bibles open, let's go to the book of Revelation, and we want to look at chapter 1, and let's read the third verse. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So we're going to get a blessing today as we read the book of Revelation. Blessed is the man that reads it. Blessed is the man that hears it read. Blessed is the man that keeps what is written here. And then the 10th verse. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. And so, friend, we read that the Lord has a day. But what day is the Lord's day? Oh, you quickly say, why, it's Sunday. Is that what the Bible says? Well, let's see if we can find out. It says here only that the Lord has a day. Well, let's turn to this book of Mark, chapter 2. And I'd like for us to read, beginning with verse 27. He said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Verse 28, therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Ah, the Lord's day is the Sabbath, it says. Notice that the Sabbath was made for man, for his enjoyment, to be a blessing to man. Well, when was the Sabbath made, we ask? Who made the Sabbath? Well, for that, let's turn to the book of John, chapter 1. And we're going to read the first three verses. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." That's very clear, isn't it? What does it say? The Word made all things. Yes, He was in the beginning with God. Who is the Word? I still want to know who it is. Let's look to verse 14. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now we have it. Who was the only begotten of the Father? None other than Jesus. So Jesus is our Creator. He made all things. Let's go back to the beginning when He did this and find out just how He did it. For that, let's go to the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to begin reading verse 3. "On the first day, He said, 'Let there be light.' On the second day, He said, 'Let there be firmament.'" In other words, the air, the atmosphere. "On the third day, 'Let the dry ground appear.' On the fourth, 'Let the sun, moon, and stars appear.' And then on the fifth day, it says that fish and fowl appeared. And then the sixth day," notice verse 26, after He had made the land animals, "and then He said, 'Let us make man in our image according to our likeness.'" What is He saying to us? He's saying that God the Father and God the Son were there in the beginning. Jesus was the active agent in creation when He said, "Let us make man after our image." Now we come to the second chapter. And let's notice the second and third verses. "And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made." Well, that's very plain. God did something on that day. What day was it? The seventh day. And what did He do? He rested on the seventh day from all His work. And what else did He do? He blessed that day. And then something else. He sanctified it. Ah, these three acts on the seventh day, just an ordinary day like all the rest. But then He does three things. He rests upon it. He blesses it. And then He sanctifies it. In other words, He sets it apart for a holy purpose. This is how the seventh day was made into the Sabbath. Now we ask the question, since it's very clear that the seventh day is the Sabbath, then what about the Ten Commandments? Yes, as we turn to the Ten Commandments, notice how it reads here in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and beginning with the eighth verse. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." So the Lord has a day. That day is called the Sabbath. And it said that the seventh day is the Sabbath. So Christ made the Sabbath. He took an ordinary day. He rested on it. He blessed it and then hallowed it sanctifying it, making it holy, calling it a Sabbath day, the Sabbath of the Lord. Well, you say, Brother Tucker, which is the seventh day? All right, we're going to go to the cross of Jesus Christ. I believe in that, don't you? The cross of Jesus. If we look to Jesus on the cross, I believe that we'll see beyond a shadow of a doubt what day it is. And we go to the book of Luke, chapter 23, beginning with the 46th verse. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Now, what day was the day that he died? Well, it says in the 54th verse, that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. Well, that's very clear. And then it goes on and tells us a little bit more about what the people were doing around the cross on that day, the day that he died. And then notice in verses 55 and 56, and the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Verse 56, then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. And they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So you see, Christ died on the preparation day. That is, the day before the Sabbath. Then the followers of Jesus rested on the seventh day, it says, according to the commandment. What day did Christ arise then? Ah, let's notice the 24th chapter, beginning with verse 1 and onward. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And then down to the sixth verse. Notice what it says. The angels are speaking here. He is not here, but is risen. O Christ's death and burial and resurrection forever should establish that the seventh day Saturday is the Lord's day. Now, what day did the Apostle Paul keep as the holy day? Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 17 and verse 2. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Isn't that clear? And if you read on in this book of Acts, you'll find out that the Apostle Paul actually had at least 78 different Sabbath meetings and only one Sunday meeting with his believers. Notice what it says here in Acts chapter 18 and the 11th verse. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. All right, let's go back and read the fourth verse of this same chapter. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. You see, there was no question in Christ's day or the apostles' day as to which day was the Sabbath. It was the seventh day. But here's the big question. Well, if it is so clear that the seventh day, Saturday, is the Sabbath, why is it that the majority of the Christians are keeping the first day of the week? Who changed it? And when was it changed? How was it changed from Saturday to Sunday? Well, friend, the change of the Sabbath to Sunday must have occurred after Bible times by unauthorized human authority. For you can read from Genesis to Revelation, and you'll not find any statement or any command telling us that we should keep a different day than the seventh day Sabbath. Now there is a statement from a historian by the name of Neander, and let's notice what he says. The festival of Sunday, like all other festivals, was always only a human ordinance, and it was far from the intention of the apostles to establish a divine command in this respect. far from them and from the early apostolic church to transfer the laws of the Sabbath to Sunday. That's an interesting statement. That comes from The History of the Christian's Religion and Church, page 186. Now, in the early part of the 4th century, the Emperor Constantine was converted to Christianity. At that time, Mithraism and sun worship were practiced by millions throughout the entire Roman Empire. In order to recommend the new religion of Christianity to the subjects, Constantine felt it necessary to adopt the customs of the populace. So on March 7, 321 AD, the emperor's edict was made law. And here we read it. Let all the judges and townspeople and the occupation of all trade rest on the venerable day of the sun. Well, what does the Bible say, you ask? Let's turn to the Word of God. Here, Matthew chapter 15. Notice what it says here. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? And then down to the ninth verse. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And then notice what Jesus says in the 13th verse. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Who planted the Sabbath, my friend? It was none other than the Lord God, the Creator of heaven and earth. Well then, who planted Sunday keeping? It must have been man, from what we've read. Let me ask you a question. If you knew for certainty what day Jesus would keep, if he were living here on this planet today, would you keep the same day? I believe you would. Notice what we have here in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, and I believe it's the 8th verse. Notice what it says. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ah, friend of mine, underline that Bible verse. Remember it. He does not change. Peter tells us that Jesus left us an example that we should follow his steps. Back in the very beginning, it was Christ who rested with the Father on that very first Sabbath. Then when Christ came down here to earth nearly 2,000 years ago, he kept the same seventh day that he blessed on creation morning. Now we come to the present time. Would Jesus change? No, I think not. He would continue to keep the same seventh day that he blessed and sanctified, that he set apart for a holy use. And because we love Jesus so much, what does he ask of us? I want you to open your Bible to John chapter 14. And before we read verse 15, I want to tell you a story. I want you to see what we're facing today. There are only two groups. I see those honest individuals who are keeping Sunday. And then I see those who are also keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. I see the patriarchs. I see the prophets. They're all keeping the Sabbath. I see Adam right down through to the apostles. Yes, I look and I see millions of people who are keeping the Sabbath. I hear a shout, come and join us over here. And then I see many dedicated, lovely Christians who've been keeping Sunday all their lives, walking in the footsteps of their forefathers, never even dreaming that they were keeping a day that was only made by man. As I consider the decision that I should make, I hear a voice over here and there. And then I see Jesus. He's standing head and shoulders above everybody else. He reaches out with his hands and he says, and that's the passage, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh friend, because Jesus loved me as and he loved you enough to die for each one of us, that we may have life. Eagerly, our hearts that are overflowing should respond, Jesus, I love you. You see why I keep the Sabbath, my friend? it's so clear to me. Not only do I keep the Sabbath because He's made it very clear to me in His Word, He commanded it, but He also kept it Himself. I keep the seventh-day Sabbath as God's holy day because He is my Savior. He died for me on Calvary's cross. And He says, I love you so much, Bill. If you love me, keep my commandments. Friend, that's why I want to follow Jesus. I want to be like Jesus my entire life. Would you like to make that kind of decision today? If you do, I can assure you, God will bless you.
Well, friends, I'm sure you've been challenged today. There's a great debate going on over which day is actually the Sabbath of the Lord or the Lord's Day. And Bill, I'm sure, has stirred up some things in your mind, as well as maybe answered some of the questions that you've been wondering about. But there's still some questions that I feel we really need to talk about here, Bill. And that is back in Genesis, when it talked about we're looking at the seven-day weekly cycle. How do we know that that's 24 hours? Because some people are saying that each day is equal to 1,000 years. How do we know that difference?
Well, I think just from a practical sense, if every day was 1,000 years, can you imagine what our creation would look like with 1,000 years of darkness?
Yeah.
And when it says evening and morning were the first day, evening and morning were the second day, and so on, these were indeed 24-hour periods of time. And interestingly enough, the dark portion of a day began first, before the day portion, and that enters right into the equation as far as the Scripture is concerned, when it's said there that from even unto even would you keep your Sabbath. And if you compare Scripture with Scripture, at even when the sun did set, it says.
Yes, yes.
So from sunset to sunset. And to me, this was God's way of, in a beautiful artistry, bringing on the Sabbath and ending the Sabbath.
Hmm. Now, does it really make any difference, I mean, what day that you keep for the Sabbath? I mean, if you want to keep Wednesday, or if you want to keep Friday or Sunday or whatever, I mean, why does it have to be Saturday?
You know, Roy, from a human rationale point of view, it shouldn't make any difference. But it's really not up to me or anybody else. Actually, if we're serving the God whom we love, who created us, if He says to me, Bill or Roy, this is what I want you to do, we shouldn't be saying to Him, but Lord, I want to do my own thing. You know, if we really love Him and want to serve Him, if He says to me, I established one day, but that one day I specified, and that day was the seventh day. He took an ordinary day, as we found out, and He set it apart for a holy purpose to remind us continually that He is the Creator God.
And maybe that's the reason why that fourth commandment begins with remember rather than thou shalt not.
Mm-hmm.
Because God did make it a holy day, and all He says is remember to keep it holy. Right. You think that's a possibility?
I think that He put that word remember in there because evidently He had an intuition of human nature to forget.
Yes.
And when I say to my kids, remember, when you leave the house, be sure to shut the door. And why would I say that? Because I know that they have a tendency to forget.
Yes.
And because that is human nature, God put that in there as added emphasis. Remember to keep it holy.
Now, we want to make it very clear to our listeners. Under no circumstances do you believe that keeping Saturday as the Sabbath is going to save you, right?
Absolutely not. Because I believe with all my heart that there will be many in heaven who perhaps have never kept a Sabbath before. However, if a person is given the opportunity to make a choice, and they understand it fully, and they deliberately choose to disregard what God says, we know that obedience does enter into the equation.
Yes.
Not for salvation, but it's because we have that relationship with Christ that we want to serve Him. We want to honor Him in that which He has set apart for a holy purpose.
You know, friends, I think the greatest ambition of the human heart is to be like Jesus. And to be like Him means to follow Him in every way. And I realize that this subject could be a real challenge to you. But remember that God is always with you. He loves you. He cares about you. And He will give you the strength and the courage that is necessary to be able to do His will. And we want to pray for you now. We want to pray that God will give you the strength and the desire to do His will completely in your life. Bill, please pray for us.
Let's do that right now. Father in heaven, I'm so thankful that you've made it so clear in your word. Father, you set up this special day in the very beginning. You've given us that example all throughout the scriptures. And even though you've indicated that as human beings we tend to forget, yet you're always there to nurture and to encourage us in the ways in which you want us to go. And Father, I pray that all those who are troubled today about this particular subject, and one that they've perhaps only heard for the first time, or others who wonder if it really is something that they need to do, I pray that you will encourage them in the way in which you want them to walk and to go. May they make the right decision, Lord, and may it always be for your sake. And I pray that this particular study will become not only real and clear, but because of their love for you, they'll want to follow into your steps and to follow your path. And I pray that the Sabbath can truly be a blessing that you've promised for it to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.